Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and this is Let's Face the Issues broadcast. The program is designed around you, our listener, for your questions and answers and comments, participation in this dialogue program. As we look at issues, we want to find an answer. And as we find most of the time, most people will go to God and His Word last rather than first when seeking an answer. When we look at the scripture, Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." The word of God does not just contain truth, it is truth. Regardless of the subject we're talking about, whether it's social, political, or spiritual, the word of God has the first, foremost, and final answer on the subject. Let me first of all say to you, as our listener, we welcome you to this broadcast. We invite you to call. You can reach us at 401-1413. That's 401-1413. The area code is 904 if you're out of the listening area code. 904-401-1413. And you can participate by asking your question. You can, if you please, disagree with my position. That's all right, because we're going to look at the scripture and let the scripture be the final arbiter and not what I think, say, or feel, neither what you think, say, or feel, but what the scripture says, letting it be the final arbiter of what is called truth. May I invite you to come worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church this Sunday. We look forward to having you as our special guest. Our Bible study Sunday school hour is at 9:30. The regular worship hour is at 10:45, 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, and 7 o'clock for our midweek fellowship meal, Bible study, and time of prayer, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. You're invited to any one of these services. May I hastily say also, if you're looking for a church home, you're looking for a place where you can put down roots, if you're looking for a place where you can exercise the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you, First Conservative Baptist Church welcomes you. We are a conservative church by that. We're not legalist. We're conservative in that we look to the Word of God through expository biblical preaching, exegeting the Word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and not just some philosophical rhetoric. And our music is the traditional, God-honoring gospel music of yesteryear that is still present, utilized, and beneficial today in the modern society in which we live. We do not go by the sermonette for Christianettes, but a full message from the Word of God and some time in music, and that music is God-honoring. And we welcome you, looking forward to having you worship with us. That's First Conservative Baptist Church on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday evenings. Before we examine the question, can a person die, go to heaven or hell, and return to tell us about it. That's a subject that I believe needs to be seriously considered in the society in which we live. May I say, in just a moment, that's where we're going. So perk up, listen up. If you have anything to comment about that, if you have a question or a challenge or a discussion on it, call us at 401-1413. While you're pondering that question, while you're searching for your cell phone or the landline phone, let me say also, first of all, that in our university, Conservative Theological University, our fall semester starts September the 6th. Orientation and a portion of the first class on the 6th of September, 5:30 in the afternoon is the time for the orientation, and the first class starts then at 6:30 that evening. Let me say to you, if you're listening, if you're involved in ministry, perhaps you have a few credits from other worthy institutions, but you never completed a degree program. We do transfer of credits. We take those credits, regardless of how old those credits are. They're still transferable if it's from a university or a seminary or a college of like kind, that is academically sound, and a school that we can do the transferability of the credits. Perhaps you're in ministry. Perhaps you have not finished a academic biblical systematic theological training program to have an Associates of Arts, Bachelor of Arts, Master of Arts, Master of Divinity, or a doctoral degree hanging on the wall. We've had students start out with their associate's degree and 9 years later finish their PhD program with five separate credentials to hang on the wall. Perhaps you're a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, associate pastor, missionary, evangelist, and you're wanting to complete your degree program or enter into one that you have never done in a classroom time. We'd be delighted to have you to be a part of our program. Conservative Theological University has graduates on a global basis serving the Lord in a variety of ministries, pastoral ministries, evangelism, outreach, missionaries, etc., etc., etc. May I remind you, the reason I bring this up is because for the first time in the 34-year-old institution, Conservative Theological University, yes, 34 years, God has blessed us and been honored in and through the programs that we train men and women in and for ministry. First time in the history of our university, we're offering 50 scholarship, tuition scholarship grants for the 50 students coming in for the fall semester that apply. Some of these tuition scholarship grants could be ministry work. Some could be scholarships and grants based on academic background or those involved in ministry, those that are missionaries, et cetera, et cetera. There's a requirement to pay simply your administration fees, your add and drop fees, semester fees, your textbook cost, and your graduation fees. But notwithstanding that, the program is a 100% scholarship program for your associate's degree. We'll work out something as far as a variety of scholarship possibilities if it is on the bachelor's, the master's, or a doctoral level program. Our programs at Conservative Theological University are theologically sound, doctrinally conservative, academically rigorous, financially affordable, biblically reliable, and realistically practical. We're certified through the Council of Private Colleges of America. We are members of the Florida Council of Private Colleges. And may I remind you that these courses of study can be done in classroom, online, or traditional distant education. You can call us and ask questions, set an interview appointment by calling 1-800-GO-BIBLE. 1-800-GO-BIBLE dials the incoming number for the university. Be delighted to see what we could do to answer the question that you have in your call in ministry and what God would have you to do in serving him. But the question now for today, and you can call in at 401-1413, the question that we're going to try to do a broad brush covering of, can a person die and go to hell or die and go to heaven and come back to tell us about it? I believe the Christian world is being inundated with fraud and with false teachers and fraudsters that say that they have died and gone to hell, stayed there, and it was pretty hot and it was pretty bad, and so they came back because God told them to warn their family members and everybody else about the dangers of hell. We've had books written on the subject. We've had DVDs produced on the subject. We've had entire movies that's been developed on the subject. One just a few years back, a young lad claimed that he had died and gone to heaven. His dad did all of the dialogue with the publishers. Book was published on it. A movie was published on it. Notwithstanding the fact that the young lad's mother told the publishers, it's all a lie, it's all made up, it did not happen. And finally, after they had marketed hundreds of thousands of the books, millions of dollars worth sold, finally it came to the forefront that it was in fact a lie, that it was in fact a false book, a false teaching, it was simply a fraudster making millions of dollars as a result of deceiving anemic, unlearned, immature Christian audience. And I pray that that's not the category that you're in today. I pray that you will understand what the Scriptures say, and understanding that we'll go to the Scripture for the finality of the subject. Hebrews 9:27, for example, says, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There's an individual that is pretty famous. He's being interviewed by a multitude of the Christian broadcast networks, both radio and television. Ian McCormick, an Australian, claims that he was an atheist, that he had been stung by stingrays, five of them, he said, while diving. And he said that he died and went to hell. He was able to look back at his body, and he saw the horrors of hell. And he cried out to God while in hell, and then he saw a tunnel of light, and he was led through that tunnel of light to heaven. He was transported to heaven. He's saying now he was in hell. He was transported to heaven, and in heaven he got to look at the very face of God, and then he saw Jesus in his testimony, as it is called. He saw Jesus in a beautiful, flowing, brilliantly white garment, and he said he was barefooted, and he talked with Jesus, and he was sent back to earth so he could tell everybody about it so that they could be warned of the dangers. And now he's pastoring a church, supposedly, and he's marketing himself as having gone through hell and heaven, and now he's preaching the gospel and pastoring. Now, if you believe that, I'll sell you the Buckman Bridge for a quarter. I'll dismantle it and re-erect it in your backyard free of charge. I'm simply saying that 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plurality, spirits, that is, Holy Spirit and demonic spirits, whether they be of God, because many false, that is, pseudo-prophets, are gone out into the world. 2 Corinthians 5:6-8, verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and do not marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. May I remind us, the Scripture warns us, that we're in the last days where deception will take place, where false teachers will deceive. But I want us to go to a biblical text and quickly glance at the text. It's found in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. We'll not have time to exegete all of the verses, naturally, in the few moments that we have on this radio broadcast. But it starts out in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, listen, verse 22, we're in Luke 16, verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We'll read the balance of it in a moment. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, there are two choices that an individual will have in this life. That's a choice to make a determinative decision a volitional choice that we're going to say yes to Jesus Christ and have our eternity settled that we're going to heaven. Or we can fail to make the choice to say yes to Christ and die and spend an eternity in that place called hell. In verse 22 in this text, it says, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's Lazarus. He was a poor, pauper man. He was a cripple. He could do nothing for himself. But he died and went to heaven. He didn't go to heaven because he was poor. He died because of his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I remind us, Jesus himself said, when on the cross this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. May I remind us that the scripture is very, very clear in the text that is before us that the Lazarus, because he was a believer, went to heaven. Heaven is a place where there's no more death, no more darkness, no more disease, no more crying, no more pain, no more poverty, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more goodbye at the graveside of a loved one. But verse 23 says here, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. May I remind us, this is the rich man. Keep in mind, this rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he did not know Jesus Christ as Savior. May I remind us, there's some that doubt the reality of hell, some that simply dismiss the reality of hell, and multitudes that never even preach on the subject or teach on the subject of hell. Hell is a place, according to the scripture, a place of destitution. Moreover, this man was alone in hell. This man was without Christ in hell. And I want us to understand, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's an impossibility for a person to live as an atheist, die, and get to hell, and then have a second chance by calling out supposedly to God. It's a place, according to Matthew 8:12, of outer darkness. May I remind us, it's a place, according to Matthew 25:46 and Hebrews 6:2, of everlasting punishment, therefore a place of despair. It's a place, according to Revelation 20:10, of damnation and doom. Dr. Paige Patterson, by the way, made a statement. He said, you can traverse the entire United States on any given Sunday morning, and you most likely will not hear a message on hell. He said, and I'm still quoting Dr. Patterson, evangelicals have by their silence said that they either do not believe in hell or else they no longer have the courage or the conviction to stand and to preach on the subject of hell. Dr. R.C. Sproul says, preaching on the wrath of God and the justice of God and the doctrine of hell just has become politically incorrect for most preachers. Dr. Sproul further says, nobody needs a gospel if there's no judgment, no law, and no hell. The gospel tells us that you're saved from the wrath of God to come, or you're lost. The place called hell is a place of debauchery, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It's a place of outer darkness, Matthew 8:11-12. A place of absolute weeping and the gnashing of teeth, destitution, in Luke 13:28. It's a place of distress. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, in Luke 13:28. It's a place of ultimate doom, according to Matthew 25:41. It's a place of death, the scripture says in Revelation 20:4-6. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's no such thing as annihilation. In hell, you will face dying, but cannot die for eternity. No cessation of the pain. No waiting to die, and then death is over. It will be a eternal place, just as heaven is spoken of as eternal. Hell is also eternal. According to Psalms 9:17, it's a place of damnation. The scripture says the wicked will be turned into hell. Matthew 23:33 says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? May I remind us, hell is real. And according to this scripture that I have in Luke chapter 16, listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. You can call in, join in, ask a question. Be delighted to do so and entertain your question or comment. You can call us at 401-1413. The scripture goes on to say, verse 24 of Luke 16, And he cried, this is the rich man, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. The word evil means it's the little Greek word poneros, means bad things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, verse 26 of Luke 16, and beside all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Listen to what the scripture is saying. Listen to it in light of those that have said that they've died and gone to heaven and spent 32 minutes or 32 seconds. I've read different accounts. They've spent that time in hell, and all of a sudden they had some epiphany, and they came back. And as this dear so-called pastor in Australia says that he died, he saw his body on the table in the morgue, and he was in hell. And then when he cried out to God, he was transported to heaven, and he saw the very face of God, and he saw Jesus, and Jesus was barefooted. May I remind us that there's desperation in hell. There is consciousness in hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural, torments, and saith, Abraham, afar off. Verse 24 in Luke 16 says, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. May I remind us, He is completely aware of what's happened to him, this rich man, in chapter 16 of Luke. He is completely aware that he is in a place called hell. He's completely aware now of his choice and the destitution that he faces. The place called hell has eternal despair, according to verse 23, uncontrollable agony, uncontrollable pain, uncontrollable misery. He is in eternal distress. In verse 24, he says, in this flame, indicative of the fact that hell is a place of fire and brimstone. It's not a place of annihilation. It's not a place where you're just separate from God. It's not a place where there's just simply outer darkness. For you see, every place, any place that Jesus Christ is not, is darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world. So what I'm trying to say is, I want you to listen, my dear friend. If you're saved, don't you dare buy into the devil's lie that someone somehow can die and go to heaven or go to hell and come back and warn us about it. No such thing as returning from the grave. No such thing as returning from hell or from heaven. The scripture in this text in verse 24 and 25 says there's crying. And he cried, that is, in the Greek text, it means he literally screamed out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy. His request for mercy is denied, because the scripture says there's a great gulf fixed. This is the focus point. This is what I want you to hear if you've not heard anything else that I've said today. This is the focus point. And besides all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Listen to what the Word of God is saying, not what this preacher is saying, not what this theological studied pastor is saying, not what I'm saying simply from a learned academic perspective, but what the Word of God says is the most important thing. The Word of God says that if you have a person that says they've died and gone to hell and come back, if they died and gone to heaven and come back, you can believe they are demonically deceived, and they become then either knowingly or unwittingly a deceiver and a false teacher. I don't care what they say. I don't care where they stand economically, sociologically. I don't care where they stand professionally, whether it's in the pulpit or otherwise. They have been deceived, and they are deceiving others. May I remind us, the scripture here says, as Abraham is saying to the rich man, there's a great gulf fixed. It's unchangeable. It's unalterable. It's undeniable. You cannot leave hell and come back. Those that's in hell cannot leave and come back. Those that's not in hell cannot leave and go and bring you a drop of water. And then this rich man that had died and gone to hell says, but I have five brethren, verse 28 of chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke, that may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. All of a sudden, he's evangelistic. All of a sudden, he wants his five brethren to gain heaven and shun hell. And it's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen. The decision that you make today, the decision that you've made in the past to say yes to Jesus Christ, is the determining factor of where you will spend, whether it be heaven or hell. You make the decision. For example, you find in this text, verse 24 and 25, there's the refusal for the messenger. Abraham says, listen, son, we can't send somebody from hell to go back. We can't even have somebody come from where you are, where they are, and bring you a drop of water to put on your parching tongue. What I'm trying to do today with this text is to warn us. Do not be anemic as a Christian. Do not be unlearned as a Christian. Do not be weak as a Christian. Study the Word. Know the Word. When you hear a false teacher, a false prophet, one that is teaching, saying that they have gone to hell and come back, don't waste God's money on a book or a movie or a video that's filled with demonic lies, because the Scripture is very clear that we need to discern the spirits. That is to determine if what is being said, what is being preached, what is being done, determine if it is from the Holy Spirit of God or if it's coming from the pits of demonic spirits. That's a devil's lie that's going to cause you to believe some esoterical feeling, some esoterical experience that absolutely cannot be found in the Word of God. It's important that you say yes to Jesus Christ, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're blood bought, Bible saved, born again. Thank you for joining us today. Join in tomorrow at the same time, this station at 5 o'clock, for us to again face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.